Hello everybody, you're listening to Osho Radio. We made a program for you with a discourse by Osho and music made by Osho friends and Osho lovers. This program can be your meditation. Just sit back, relax and enjoy.
जगाना होगा जीवन के उजड़े उपवन में फिर मधुमास जगाना होगा प्राणों की उत्तप्त धरा पर फिर रसधार बहाना होगा खरे अमोलक कंचन है पर माटी के मूल बिके जग सागर के सरसज है हम पर करदम में लिप्त दिखे हैं खरे अमोलक कंचन है हम पर माटी के मूल बिके हैं जग सागर के सरसज है हम पर करदम में लिप्त दिखे हैं पाक नहीं जीवन बंसी में सुर छेड़े हम जैसे चाहे बहुत गालिए राग वरन के अब जीवन के गाना होगा जीवन के उजड़े उपवन में फिर मधुमास जगाना होगा प्राणों की उत्तप्त धरा पर फिर रसधार बहाना है पर जग के छल छंद हो गए हम अपने ही अहंकार के कारागृह में बंद हो गए हम अनुपम गोविंद गीत है पर जग के छल छंद हो गए हम अपने ही अहंकार के कारागृह में बंद हो गए हमें देह के देवालय में करनी होगी प्राण प्रतिष्ठा भावों का नैवेद्य चढ़ाकर झूठा दीप मनाना होगा हमें देह के देवालय में करनी होगी प्राण प्रतिष्ठा भावों का नैवेद्य चढ़ाकर झूठा दीप मनाना होगा जीवन के उजड़े उपवन में फिर मधुमास जगाना होगा प्राणों की उत्तप्त धरा पर फिर रसधार बहाना होगा सपनों में भटक गए हैं हम तो है आकाश खुले पर गम के बादल लटक गए हैं हम अपने ही घर में हैं पर दुख सपनों में भटक गए हैं हम तो है आकाश खुले पर गम के बादल लटक गए अपने घट में राम बसे पर इच्छाओं के दास हुए हम फिर जीवन के वृंदावन में मुरलीधर बन जाना होगा अपने घट में राम बसे पर इच्छाओं के दास हुए हम फिर जीवन के वृंदावन में मुरलीधर बन जाना जीवन के वृंदावन में मुरलीधर बन जाना
The discourse that we are playing today is from the series Unio Mystica, Volume 1, Number 8. The full version of the discourse you can download through oshoworld.com. Somebody asked the question to Osho, how you can ever become a free person if you carry all kind of negative elements inside of you. Osho talks about the desire to be free and how you create all kind of divisions inside of yourself. Instead, Osho says, you have to go in and watch and accept everything that is going on inside of you. So not by reaching out, not by any effort, but by accepting it will happen by itself.
and cowardice and hypocrisy also be beautiful? Can I accept even my cowardice, my hypocrisy, my miserliness, and the tendency towards privacy that you yourself have called idiocy? And if I accept such tendencies, all of which tend to bottle me up, how will I get free? The very desire to be free keeps one unfree. Every desire is a chain, a bondage, an imprisonment. No desire can ever be fulfilled. By dropping the desire happens its fulfillment. Now the greatest desire in the world is that of inner transformation. The desire for money is nothing. The desire for more power, prestige is nothing. The greatest desire is the so-called spiritual desire. And once you are caught in that desire, you will remain miserable forever. Transformation is possible, but not by desiring it. Transformation is possible only by relaxing into that which is. Whatsoever is, unconditionally accepting yourself brings transformation. We will have to go deeper into this phenomenon. It is everybody's question. Man is in misery. Man is in anguish. Hence everybody is searching for a state of bliss, a state of unity with existence. Man feels alienated, uprooted. Hence the desire is natural. How to get roots again into existence? How to be green again? How to be blossoming again? These few things have to be meditated upon. First, to establish that perfect unity, consciousness must first unify itself in terms of all its personal aspects by rejecting nothing which is experientially real in itself. This is the first thing to be understood. You feel fear. Now the fear is an existential reality, experiential reality. It is there. You can reject it. By rejecting it, you will be repressing it. By repressing it, you will create a wound in your being. You feel cowardice. You can manage not to look at it, but it is a fact, a reality. Just by not looking at it, it is not going to disappear. You are behaving like an ostrich, seeing the enemy, seeing the danger of death. The ostrich hides its head into the sand. But hiding the head into the sand, by closing his eyes, the enemy does not disappear. In fact, the ostrich becomes more vulnerable to the enemy. Thinking that now there is no enemy because nobody is seen, thinking that seeing is the existence of the enemy, now the ostrich is relieved of the fear. but he is more in danger. The enemy is more powerful because it has not been noticed. Something can be done. If the ostrich does not hide its head, and that's what people are doing. You see cowardice, you try not to notice it. But it is a fact. By not noticing it, you have created a part of your being which you will not be able to see. You have divided yourself into segments. Now one day there is something else, anger, and you don't want to accept that there is anger in you. You start looking at it, then some other day there is greed, and so on and so forth. And whatsoever you stop looking remains, but now you go on shrinking. Many more parts of your being become separate from you. You have separated them on your own. And the more fragmentary you are, the more miserable you will be. The first step towards bliss is to be one. To be one is to be blissful. To be many is to be in hell. So whatsoever is experientially real, accept it. You cannot do anything by denying it. By denying it, you create the problem. The problem becomes more complex. It was simple. You feel a coward, so what? So I am a coward. Just see the point. If you can accept cowardice, you have already become brave. Only a brave person can accept the fact of being a coward. No coward can do that. You are already on the way of transformation. So the first thing, nothing that is experienced as a fact has to be denied reality. Second, in order to accomplish that, consciousness must first disidentify from all fixed conceptual selves with which it has identified itself. If you have a certain idea how you should be, then you cannot accept the experiential truths of your being. If you have the idea that you have to be a brave man, that bravery is a value, then it is difficult to accept your cowardice. If you have the idea that you have to be a Buddha-like person, compassionate, absolutely compassionate, then you cannot accept your anger. It is the ideal that creates the problem. If you don't have any ideals, then there is no problem at all. You are a coward. So you are a coward. And because there is no ideal of being a brave man, you don't condemn the fact. You don't reject it. You don't repress it. You don't throw it into the basement of your being so that there is no need forever you to look at it. But anything that you throw into your unconscious will go on functioning from there. It will go on creating problems for you. It is like a disease that you have pushed inwards. It was coming to the surface, and from the surface there was a possibility it may have disappeared. If a wound comes to the surface, it is good. It is on the way to be healed, because it is only from the surface it will be in contact with fresh air and sun, and it will be healed. If you force it inwards, if you don't allow it to come to the surface, then it is going to become a cancer. Even a small disease repressed can become a dangerous disease. No disease should ever be repressed. But the repression is natural if you have some ideal. Any ideal will do. If you have the ideal of being a celibate man, brahmachari, then sex becomes the problem. You can watch it. If you don't have the ideal of becoming a brahmachari, a celibate, then sex is not rejected. Then there is no division between you and your sexuality. Then there is communion, and that communion brings joy. Self-communion is the base of all joy. So the second thing to remember is, don't carry ideals. The more ideals you have, the more will be your suffering and the more will be your hypocrisy. Because if you cannot fulfill the ideals, then at least you can pretend. That's how hypocrisy comes in. The world will not be hypocrite at all if we accept experiential facts without any judgment. Whatsoever is. If we live with the isness of existence and not with the arts and the shoulds, how hypocrisy can arise? Drop all ideals. And then life starts becoming integrated. All the rejected fragments start coming back home. The repressed start surfacing. For the first time, you start feeling a kind of togetherness. You are no more falling apart. For example, if I hold myself to be a kind person, I will not be able to permit myself to recognize and accept angry feelings when they arise in consciousness, because kind people just don't get angry. Therefore, to bring about a personal unity in consciousness, I must first take my stand as being nothing fixed or enduring, but hold myself to be only the moment-to-moment experiential reality which arises in consciousness. Thus, some moments I am angry, then some moments I am sad, then some moments I am jealous, then some moments I am joyful. Moment to moment, whatsoever happens is accepted. Then you become one. And this oneness is the most fundamental thing to understand. My purpose here, my function here is to take all the ideals away from you. Although you have come here with ideals, you would like me to enhance your ideals. You would like me to support, help to become that which you want to become. That may be your motivation of coming here, but that is not my work here. My work is just the opposite, to help you to accept that which is already the case and to forget all about your fantasies. I want you to become more realistic, pragmatic. I want you to give roots in the earth. And you are hankering for the sky. And you have completely forgotten the earth. Yes, the sky is also available, but only to those whose roots are gone deep into the earth. If a tree wants to rise high in the sky and whisper with the clouds and play with the winds and have some communion with the stars, then the tree will have to send deep and deep roots into the earth. The first thing is sending roots into the earth. The second thing happens on its own accord. The deeper the roots go, the higher the tree goes. There is no need to do anything else. My effort here is to send your roots deep into the soil of truth. And the truth is that which you are. And then suddenly things will start happening. You will start rising. The ideals that you have always tried and have never been able to achieve will start happening on their own accord. If a person can accept his reality as it is, in that very acceptance, all tension disappears, anguish, anxiety, despair. They all simply evaporate. And when there is no anxiety, no tension, no fragmentariness, no division, no schizophrenia, then suddenly there is joy. Then suddenly there is love. Then suddenly there is compassion. These are not ideals. These are very natural phenomena. All that is needed is to remove the ideals, because those ideals are functioning as blocks. The more idealist a person is, the more blocked he is. Cowardice gives you pain. Fear gives you pain. Anger gives you pain. These are negative emotions. But peace can be attained only by accepting and absorbing the painful, not by rejecting it. By rejecting it, you will become smaller and smaller and smaller. And less power you will have. And you will be in a constant inner war, a civil war, in which one hand will fight with another, in which you will simply dissipate your energy. A very fundamental thing to be remembered: all that is painful has to be accepted. A dialogue has to be created with it. It is you. There is no other way to go beyond it. The only way is to absorb it. And it has tremendous potential. Anger is energy. Fear is energy. So is cowardice. All that happens to you has a great momentum, great quantity of energy hidden in it. Once you accept it, that energy becomes yours. You become stronger. You become wider. You start becoming more spacious. You have a bigger inner world then. The psychological pain is your own creation. Cowardice is not painful. But your idea that cowardice is wrong, your interpretation that cowardice should not be there, it is because of that condemnation and interpretation pain arises. And the cowardice is there, so it becomes a wound. You cannot accept it and you cannot destroy it by rejecting. Nothing is destroyed by rejecting. The moment you decide to reject something, pain arises. Watch it inside yourself. Become a lab of great experimentation. In unity is the ending of pain. This split that you create between the feeling, the fear, the anger, and yourself, you become two. You become the observer and the observed. You say, I am here, the observer, and there is pain, the observed, and I am not the pain. Now this duality creates pain. You are not the observed. You are not the observer. You are both. You are the observer and the observed both. Don't say, I am feeling fear. That is a wrong way of saying it. Don't say, I am afraid. That too, again, is the wrong way of saying it. Simply say, I am fear. In this moment, I am fear. Don't create any division. When you say, I am feeling fear, you are keeping yourself separate from the feeling. You are there somewhere far away and the feeling is around you. This is the basic disunity. Say, I am fear. And watch, that's actually the case. When the fear is there, you are fear. It is not that sometimes you feel love. When really love is there, you are love. And when anger is there, you are anger. A choiceless awareness. That is the ultimate key to open the innermost mystery of your being. Don't say it is good. Don't say it is bad. When you say something is good, attachment arises. Attraction arises. When you say something is bad, repulsion arises. Fear is fear, neither good nor bad. Don't evaluate. Just let it be. Let it be so. When without condemnation, justification, you are there, then in that choiceless awareness, all psychological pain simply evaporates as dew drops in the early morning sun. And left behind is a pure space. Left behind is virgin space. This is the one, the Tao, or you can call it God. This one that is left behind when all pain disappears. When you are not divided in any way, when the observer has become the observed, this is the experience of God, Samadhi, or whatever you will. And in this state there is no self as such, because there is no observer, controller, judger. One is only that which arises and changes from moment to moment. Some moments it may be elation, other moments it may be sadness, tenderness, destructiveness, fear, loneliness, etc. One should not say that I am sad or I have sadness, but that I am sadness, because the first two statements imply a separate self from that which is. In reality, there is no other self to whom the particular feeling is happening. There is only the feeling itself. Meditate over it. There is only the feeling itself. Thus, nothing can be done about what is experientially arising in the moment. There is nobody else to do anything. This communion with pain does not bring greater pain, but actually yields liberation and joy. In fact, consciousness in communion with anything, not just psychological pain, of course yields peace and joy. Be the truth and the truth will set you free. I will repeat the question again. Can cowardice and hypocrisy also be beautiful? Everything that is beautiful, even ugliness. Can I accept even my cowardice, my hypocrisy, my miserliness, and a tendency towards privacy that you yourself have called idiocy? Whatsoever is. Whether you accept or not, your acceptance or rejection makes not a difference at all. that which is. If you accept it, you have joy arising in you. If you reject it, you have pain. But the reality still remains the same. You may have pain that is your creation, the psychological pain, because you were not able to accept, absorb something that was arising. You rejected truth. In rejection, you became a prisoner. The truth liberates, but you rejected it. Hence, you are in chains. Reject truth, and you will remain more and more imprisoned. The truth remains. It does not matter whether you reject or accept. It does not change the fact. It changes your psychological reality. And there are two possibilities, either pain or joy. Either dis-ease or health. If you reject it, there will be dis-ease, uncomfort, because you are cutting a chunk of your being away from you. It will leave wounds and scars on you. If you accept, there will be celebration and health and wholeness. And if I accept such tendencies, all of which tend to bottle me up, how will I get free? They are not bottling you up. It is your interpretation. No truth ever binds anybody. That is not the quality of truth. But when you reject it, in your rejection, you become closed. You are bottled up. In that rejection, you become a cripple. You become paralyzed. And if I accept such tendencies, you say, all of which tend to bottle me up, how will I get free? That very idea of getting free is again an ideal. Freedom is not an ideal. It is a byproduct of accepting whosoever you are. Freedom is a byproduct. It is not a goal of your endeavor and effort. It is not arrived at by a great effort. It happens when you are relaxed. And how can you be relaxed if you cannot accept your cowardice? If you cannot accept your fear? If you cannot accept your love? If you cannot accept your sadness, how you can be relaxed? Why people cannot relax? What is the basic cause of their constant chronic tension? This is the basic cause. Down the centuries, your so-called religions have been teaching you to reject and reject. They have been teaching you to renounce. They have been teaching you all is wrong. You have to change this, you have to change that. Only then you will be acceptable to God. They have created so much rejection that what to say about God? You are not even acceptable to yourself. You are not acceptable to people you live with. How you can be accepted by the gods? God already accepts you. That's why you are in existence. Otherwise you would not have been here. This is my basic teaching to you. God already accepts you. You have not to earn it. You are already worthy. Relax. Enjoy the way God has made you. If He has put cowardice in you, then there must be something in it. Trust and accept it. And what is wrong in being a coward? And what is wrong in being afraid? Only idiots don't feel fear. Imbeciles are not afraid. If a snake comes on the path, you will jump immediately. only the imbecile, the stupid, the idiot will not be afraid of the snake. But the intelligent, the more intelligent you are, the faster you will jump. This is part of intelligence. This is perfectly good. This helps your life. It protects you. But stupid ideologies have been given to man. And even you are here, you go on persisting in your old patterns. You don't listen to me what I am saying. I am saying whatsoever you are, unconditionally accept it. And acceptance is the key to transformation. I am not saying that accept yourself to be transformed. Otherwise you have not accepted at all. Because deep down the desire is for transformation. You say, okay, if this brings transformation, then I will accept. But this is not acceptation. This is not accepting it. You have missed the whole point. Still you are desiring for transformation. That's why in the end you ask, how will I get free if I accept? You are asking me, can I guarantee that if I accept, it will bring freedom? If I guarantee you, and you accept because of the guarantee, where is the acceptance? You are using acceptance as a means. The goal is to be transformed, to be free, to attain to God, to Nirvana. Where is the acceptance? Acceptance has to be unconditional, for no reason at all, without any motivation. Then only it frees. It brings tremendous joy. It brings great freedom. The freedom does not come as an end. Acceptance itself is another name for freedom. If you have accepted truly, if you have understood what I mean by acceptance, there is freedom. Immediately, instantly. It is not that first you accept, practice acceptance, then one day there will be freedom. No. You accept and there is freedom. Because the psychological pain disappears immediately. You try it. What I am saying is experimental. You can do it. It is not a question of believing me. You have been fighting with your fear. Accept it. And see what happens. Just sit silently and accept. And say that I have fear. So I am fear. In that very meditative state, I am fear, freedom starts descending. When the acceptance is total, the freedom has arrived.
What a wonderful piece of music this was. It was by Manish Vijas, and it is called Darbari. Before the discourse, you listened to another small piece of music by Manish Vijas. Anandvija was singing a song from her CD Prayer for Love, and you heard Prem Joshua's Kirwani. We are going to end with a song by Chin and Rish called One World, One Song. Goodbye, everybody. Share our program with your friends. Take care. And until the next time. Namaste. Yeah.